إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، Brothers and sisters in Islam, 99 qualities or good things that every Muslim husband, he loves and likes his wife to have. So these noble qualities, every Muslim, and not only every Muslim should strive and work hard to have them in his life. So I hope the sisters, they take these things into consideration, and inshallah, the objective of this series on family issues is to enhance the marital life among the Muslim couples, so that we have strong community and strong ummah, inshallah. So the first thing is the ta'ah, obeying her Lord. So a husband loves his wife to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both in the open and in openness and in secrecy, whether she is when she is alone and also when she is in front of the people. He likes her to be dutiful and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also to obey Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by following his footsteps and by adhering and abiding by the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a pious husband, he loves and likes his wife to be like that, obedient to Allah and obedient to her Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by following his footsteps and by taking his wives as an example for her. So this thing makes the husband happy, and he loves that quality to be there in his wife. So this is a noble quality that every Muslim should strive to have, and that's by being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by being a true devotee to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing is to protect his owner and property in his absence. This is something every man wants, and the Muslim, alhamdulillah, most of the Muslims, when they leave their homes, they are sure, they are dead sure, they are dead sure that nothing is going to be wrong, so they should not worry about the milkman, postman, etc. So, because they know that their wives, they are so sincere, and they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they are not going to hear anything which is shameful, anything that affects the owner, his owner. And also, to protect his property in his absence, that he is not, because he is away, she is not going to be extravagant, wasting things, etc. Because this is a very important point, not only to a Muslim husband, it's also to any man. Any man, he wants to feel secured when he leaves, that nothing is going to happen which is shameful in his absence. The third thing is to please him when he looks at her, by maintaining her physique, fitness, attractiveness. Because the more a woman maintains these things, her physique, her body, her fitness, she does exercises, and attractiveness, she is very attractive. So the more that a woman maintains these things, the more her husband's heart clings to her. So the husband's heart will be always clinging to you, will be always there. You are actually capturing his heart, because when he looks at your body, the body is, mashallah, nice. There is no tummy, the body is in good shape, you look attractive to him? Because this is very important point. Your husband, every day he sees many women outside. Those who are very graceful, those who have nice figures, etc. So he expects his wife to maintain her figure. Because many women, they don't maintain their figures. Especially after having 2 children or 3 children or after pregnancy in particular. That's why a woman after delivery, she should go through exercises, etc. to maintain her figure. So this is every husband, he loves to have that. That his wife is maintaining her physique, her fitness and attractiveness. Attractiveness in the sense that she is always looking after herself. She doesn't neglect herself or her looking after herself. Especially some mothers, after because of the children, because of the chores, daily chores, so they neglect themselves. And of course that affects her husband. He doesn't like that. The fourth thing, that she should not leave her home without his permission. A woman, a Muslimah, will not leave her home without the permission of her husband. Even if he wants to visit someone of her friends, she should let him know. From this time to this time, I will be visiting so and so. And this is the telephone, this is the contact number. So she should not just step and leave like that. It is haram in Islam. It's prohibited for a Muslimah to leave her home without the permission of her husband. So she has to seek the permission from her husband when she wants to leave. The fifth thing, that a husband loves his wife to be always smiling and charmful. This is, every husband loves that. That his wife is always smiling when he looks at her. Her face is not gloomy. She is not angry. She smiles. Even if there is no smile, she will force it out to smile. Because the smile is actually a cure, a remedy. It is a cure. And you don't know what the smile does. A smile does a lot of things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He teaches us and commanding us by saying, اِدِفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. Repel with that which is good, that which is evil. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ. So that the one between you whom you have trouble or dispute with will turn into a close friend. You have enmity, hatred, dislikeness, dispute. You turn him into a close friend. He becomes a close friend. Why? Because whenever you meet him, you smile, you treat him nicely, etc. And the Prophet ﷺ, on top of that, he said, تَبَسُّمَكْ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيكَ صَدَقَةً. When you smile, it is a charity. So when a woman smiles when she sees her husband, it is sadaqah, it is charity. So this is sadaqah, charity. And it doesn't cost you, it will not cost you anything. So husband loves his wife to be always smiling and charmful. She is full of charm. This is something every husband is craving to have it in his wife. That his wife is a charmful person. Point number 6, or the 6th quality, to be grateful. Every husband loves his wife to be grateful first to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to her Lord, by praising Him, saying Alhamdulillah. And also secondly, to be grateful to Him, to her husband, for the things that he does for her. He helps you, he brings you gifts, etc., etc. So you have to be grateful to Allah. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the majority of the inhabitants of the people in the hellfire are the women, because they are ungrateful to their husbands. So every husband, he wants his wife to be grateful. First to her Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, and secondly, after that, to her husband. So when he brings you a gift or anything, you tell him, thank you. Jazakallahu khaira. May Allah reward you greatly. It's nice. So you let him feel that you are grateful. 7th point, or 7th quality, that a husband wants his wife to have is to choose the right time and the right method when she wants to request something and fears he might refuse it. You want to ask your husband something, and you are reluctant and you feel that he might say no. So when you feel that he might say no, don't ask him at that moment of time. Look and choose the right moment and the right method, the right technique, how to approach him. So I'll tell you something. The skillful wife and the smart wife, she should know how to handle her husband. A husband, believe me, sisters, sometimes he will be like a child, and he can be fooled easily. And you can get from your husband whatever you want, but you should know how. When to ask him, when he will say, yes, darling, no problem. You should know. So you choose the right moment and the right time and the right way and technique to approach him. So a husband loves that. He knows she will ask him only when he's in the mood. When he's not in the mood, he will never talk to him about anything. Because sometimes many marital problems arise because the wife, she doesn't know when to ask. The man was not in the mood, and she is insisting on having something, and he's saying no. And she's saying, I want it now. No. So these are, inshallah, helping our sisters. The eighth quality husband loves his wife to have, she should have an excellent khuluq, character, well manners, excellent manners. Husband, he loves his wife to be well-mannered, person has excellent khuluq, character, the way when she talks, the way she behaves, etc. When she talks, you see pearls come out. Jewels are coming out. Wisdoms are coming out when she talks. Also, when she behaves, even when she is angry. I'll tell you something. There are women, subhanAllah, that is their upbringing. They are being brought up by their families. When they are angry, they are praying for that person. For instance, when she is angry with her child, she's saying, go, may Allah guide you. Go, may Allah do Allah yahdik, Allah ybarik fik, and she's angry. So what is coming out from her mouth? Only dua. Not go to hell, go may Allah curse you. No, it's the opposite. Whatever is coming is only dua. So train yourself to be like that. It is the upbringing. For instance, if you are treating your children like that, when they learn from you, that when you are angry, they're saying, Allah yahdik, Allah yaslahak, may Allah reward you, may Allah amend you. Then your daughter learns that from you and she will do the same thing to her children. So a Muslimah should have excellent khuluq. She takes the Prophet ﷺ as her example. As Aisha said, the Prophet ﷺ, when she was asked about the Prophet's character, she said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. His character was the Qur'an. The ninth quality that a Muslimah should have, she should not leave her home in the state of tabarruj, dazzling display, displaying her beauty. So mutabarrija in the state of tabarruj, the dazzling display. For instance, wearing makeup and she is not covering her face. So that is cause of fitna. She is causing fitna to the people. Or wearing perfume. A Muslimah should not wear perfume when she leaves her home. Because if a woman wears perfume and leaves her home, then the Prophet ﷺ said, the angels will write that she is zaniya. She is an adulteress. She committed zina. And unfortunately, many Muslim women, they wear perfume and they go out. So this is a sin. This is haram. So a Muslim husband, he doesn't like his wife to go out in the state of tabarruj. Tabarruj means dazzling display, displaying her beauty, whether by showing her makeup or wearing perfume, or some women, may Allah guide them, Muslim women, they walk seductively. When they are walking, they are walking seductively, swaying their bodies. They are swaying their bodies when they are walking. So that is actually a way of, course, that method or that particular pattern of walking is very seductive, and it causes fitna for the passers-by. A woman who's walking gracefully and swaying her body, she is actually causing fitna. So a Muslimah should not walk seductively outside. She can walk seductively in front of her husband at home. The tenth point, she should not raise her voice above his when she is arguing with him. This is important point that women should pay attention to it. A man, he loves to and he wants to feel that he is still the man. So even when you are arguing with him, you should not raise your voice above his voice. So you can argue with him, but still you are lowering your voice. So you should not raise your voice above your husband's voice when you are arguing with him. Because if you raise your voice above his, then he feels that he is not the head of the family anymore, and he feels that he is humiliated. This is the mentality of men. 11th point or 11th quality that a Muslim should have, and the husband loves his wife to have, is to stand by him under all circumstances by being patient during the ups and downs when he is poor and state of poverty, and also to be grateful and thankful to Allah when he is rich. So when your husband is poor, you married him and he was very poor, so you stand by him. He loves that. Or maybe you married him rich and all of a sudden he became bankrupt. And he is now very, very poor. So he expects you to stand by him. Not to tell him, sorry darling, you cannot maintain the same standard of living, so I can't stay with you. And you leave him. So when he was rich, you loved him and you stayed with him. But now when he's poor, you are saying, sorry, you are leaving him. And you know the true love, brothers and sisters, is to sacrifice. Love is sacrificing. If you love someone, you sacrifice for that one. A woman who loves her husband, she will live with him wherever he goes. In a tent, in a hut, she will go with him and live with him. And she will stand by him. That's why every woman should train herself and prepare herself psychologically. What if this happened? What if? She should be ready and should train herself for the hard days. And how she can stand by her husband. Point number 12, which is the 12th quality, a husband loves and likes his wife to remind him to be kind to his parents and his kindred. Husband, I am talking about pious husband, Muslim husband who fears Allah. He loves his wife when she tells him, let's go and visit your parents. Oh, he likes that. He say, Jazakallah khair, yes, we'll go. Okay, I will prepare the kids, let's go. So you keep always reminding him about his parents and arham, his kindred, aunts, etc. So he loves that. And point number 13, a husband loves his wife to be involved in doing good deeds, like charity works. A husband, he doesn't mind. A pious husband will not mind if his wife is helping the community in doing charity works, like, for instance, she stitches clothes and helping the poor, or cook food, or anything that it's charitable. A pious husband will not mind, and actually he loves his wife to be involved in doing such charitable works. Point number 14, a husband loves his wife to be truthful and honest. Truthful and honest at all times. Should always say the truth. Never lie. Should never lie. So honesty and truthfulness is actually your credit. The moment you start to lie, that is going to put question mark in his mind about you. Anytime you tell him something, he will think about it. Is she now telling the truth or still she is lying? Be truthful to him and also honest. Even if he will get angry, no problem, but say the truth and be truthful. Point number 15, or the 15th quality. A husband loves his wife to bring up his children upon loving Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also to bring them upon respecting and obeying their father and not helping them in doing wrong things. So this is important point here, that you bring up your children upon the love of Allah. Every mother should instill in the heart of the child Allah's love, that the child loves Allah. Every time the child asks something, you say, "We'll ask Allah." When you give him something, you say, "You know, who gave us this? Allah gave us this. Gave it to us." So say Alhamdulillah. So the little child will say Alhamdulillah. So that's how you make your child loves Allah. Everything the sweet from Allah, which is true. Who gave it? Allah. Every time, everything is Allah. It is from Allah. If he he wants something, say, "Okay, we'll ask Allah. Come, my little boy. Let us pray to Allah to help us." And he will raise his beautiful hands, little hands, say, "Oh Allah, give me this." And the mother say, "Oh Allah, give us this." And then you will give him. Say, "See, because we asked Allah, so he gave it to us." So that's how you program the mind of the child. Everything he has to turn to Allah. Later on, he will never turn to any human being. He knows the way. He brought him up upon loving Allah, so he asks Allah, and he loves Allah. Also, you bring them upon the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if you sometimes mention the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you forgot, they remind you immediately. Mom, you have to say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you bring them upon the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You teach them the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Instead of reading to them stories to put them to sleep or the lullaby, their lullaby should be the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's how you put them to sleep. So they know everything about their Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's how you bring up your children. Loving Allah, loving their Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, love his sunnah, and also you bring them upon respecting their father. They respect their father and obey their father as well. Say, "No, we have to listen to our father and we have to obey him." So you should listen to your father and should obey your father. And you should not stand by them if they do something wrong. Say, "No, this is wrong and I will not stand by you." Point number 16, a husband does not like his wife to be a hot-tempered person. No husband likes that his wife is a hot-tempered person. She gets angry very quickly. She flares up all the times. Any minor things, silly things, makes her angry. And she becomes very furious, throwing plates and breaking dishes. And some women like that. They are like that. When they are angry, they don't know what to do. And those who are having this bad quality, whether they are men or women, this can be refined. And one can get rid of that by training. Training. You train yourself. When you want to get angry, just swallow your anger and say, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim." If we, brothers and sisters, believe me, if we always train ourselves to say, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim," when we get angry, we'll get rid of it. Because this is the remedy, this is the cure. When you feel that you are going to get angry, say, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim." That will cool you down. So women should not be, or also the husband, but we are talking what husbands love in their wives, what they want them to be, that they should not be hot-tempered people. Point number 17, she should not belittle people or look upon the people or make mockery of them. Because some women, they like to, because they feel that they are something, so they look upon the people, they look disdainfully, they treat the people badly, and they look upon them and they belittle them, or they make mockery or mock at them and cracking jokes or ridiculing them. Pious husband, he doesn't like that. And he doesn't want his wife to be a person who's belittling the people or making mockery of them. And a Muslimah should not have this ignoble quality. Point number 18, a husband loves his wife to be a humble person, distant from arrogance, pride, ostentation. So a Muslimah, she should be first of all a humble, very humble. And believe me, humility is a noble quality, tawadu. Being a humble person, this humbleness is a noble quality. And you'll find only few people have this noble quality, the humbleness, or the quality of humility. And the Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith, Man tawadha'a lillahi rafa'ahu. Whoever humbles himself, Allah raises him. When you humble yourself, Allah raises you. When you try to become arrogant, Allah lowers you and puts you down. Man tawadha'a lillahi rafa'ahu. You lower yourself for Allah's sake. You humble yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises your status. Man tawadha'a lillahi rafa'ahu. So be a humble person. And always the pious people will be humble. Scholars are very, very humble. I can recall now the story, this incident. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and I think Yahya ibn Ma'in, they were together in the Hajj in Mecca. And they went to drink from Zamzam. And the people in Hajj, no one knows anyone. They didn't know them, that those are two famous imams of the Muslims. So they were kicking them and pushing them away and squeezing them, etc. So they looked to one another. Imam Ahmad looked to Imam Yahya ibn Ma'in and they smiled, they laughed. And they said, we should be always in a position like this. So no one knows us. No one knows us. And this shows the humbleness of the people. A Muslim should be very, very humble. Because if this is in Baghdad, in Iraq, where the people know Yahya ibn Ma'in and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, everyone will say, okay, make a way for the Imam, make a way. But here no one knows them. So they looked at one another and they smiled. They laughed. So this shows that humbleness, that the person should be very humble. And there is a saying in Arabic, which is, the meaning is, when the ear of corn is full of grains, it will be very low. It's very within reach, very close to the ground, to the earth, down to earth, because of the heaviness of the grains inside, so it is very low. But when the ear is empty, no grains inside, you will see this ear high in the sky. So this is the parable. The parable, the meaning here, the scholars, for instance, like the ears of maize that or corn that are full of grains, you find these scholars are very humble, and very close to the people. And those who are, their heads are empty, no ilm, no knowledge inside, you find them very, very proud and arrogant. Just like the ear of grain or maize, which is of corn, which is empty. So we should be humble, always. Always remember this. So a husband, pious husband, he wants his wife to be humble person. Not arrogant, not proud, not ostentatious, who loves to always show the things, the good things. In a wedding, she wants to wear the most expensive dress, etc. Point number 19, or the 19th noble quality a Muslimah should have, is to lower her gaze the moment she steps outside her home. Every husband, he wants his wife, the moment she leaves her home, when she comes out, to lower her gaze and not to keep her sight wandering right and left, scanning the horizon, seeing all the passers-by. Oh, this one. Oh, you saw that guy. Which guy? No, that one. Oh, you see. See that hunk. See that handsome boy. A Muslim should not be like that. A Muslim should always lower her gaze, and a Muslim should always lower his gaze. So, to lower her gaze, the moment she steps outside her home, he is lowering her gaze. He is not looking. He's always looking down. This is the pious Muslimah, and this is what every Muslim pious husband wants his wife to be, to have this noble quality. And believe me, brothers and sisters, it's not only for the sisters. The benefit of lowering the gaze is unlimited. You cannot imagine the benefit of the lowering the gaze. Lowering the gaze saves you a lot of troubles, a lot of troubles. And no doubt, it is a purifier of the heart. And you don't look at the opposite sex. Because if we keep our sight loose, we'll be suffering. We'll be suffering. Also, if we are watching these movies and films, and you'll be suffering because you are going to see different types of women. And also the woman is going to see many, many husbands who are more handsome than her husband. Many men, sorry. So lowering the gaze is indeed a purifier for the heart. It purifies the heart and saves you a lot of troubles. For instance, a husband and wife, they visit friends, and it is what they call social gathering, get together, where those people there is a free mingling. So they were sitting together, chatting, laughing, but the moment they get home, they start to have a fight. He's telling her, why were you looking at him, smiling? Oh, she's telling him, you too, you were smiling at her. I was watching you. So everyone is blaming the other. So lowering the gaze is a cure, is a remedy. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ. And tell the believing men to lower their gaze, and to protect their private parts. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنْ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُمْ. And tell the believing women to lower their gaze and to protect the private parts, and see the relationship between the gaze and the protection of the private parts. Point number 20. A husband loves his wife to be preoccupied, her mind to be preoccupied by thinking about the Akhirah. He's a woman who is thinking of the Akhirah, and she is not deceived by this transient life and by this false glittery of the dunya. She is not. She knows what she wants. She is a woman who made up her mind, and she knows exactly what she is looking for and what she wants. So the Akhirah is her first priority. The first priority is the Akhirah. What is always preoccupying her mind is the Akhirah, not the dunya. So a husband, every pious husband dreams that he gets a wife who's always thinking about the Akhirah, and who is always also will remind him, and she would tell him, never mind, this life is short. Let us think about our real life, our real home, which is the Jannah. And believe me, brothers and sisters, when you think of the Akhirah, it helps you and saves you a lot of troubles. For instance, a wife and her husband, and now they are old, and they've been living for many years together, and the husband made a blunder, big mistake, because of thinking of the Akhirah. I say, okay, I will be patient. I will be very patient, because nothing has remained. Few years and I will be, inshallah, in another life. So she would say, this is between you and Allah, okay? You did something, it is between you and Allah. So thinking about the Akhirah helps the person, and it soothes him, and gives him the strength to accommodate many of these troubles or problems that rise from time to time in the marital life. Point number 21, husband or Muslim husband, he wants his wife to have tawakkul. So a Muslima should have tawakkul and put her trust totally in Allah. You trust, you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this tawakkul upon Allah is very, very important. And it actually, it is one of the strongest pillar that supports the family structure, the tawakkul. If you have tawakkul upon Allah, and you put your trust in Allah, say, Alhamdulillah. You will not worry about anything. Because you know, whatever has been written, is going to pass, it's going to happen. So you have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't worry about your risk, about your sustenance, about your provision. Because Allah is the provider. And you know that Allah is the protector. So you don't worry about anything because Allah is the protector. Allah will protect you. Allah will protect your husband. Allah will protect your children. Tawakkul is the core of the tawheed. It's the heart of the tawheed to have the tawakkul. Trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You all know when Ibrahim alayhi salam, he left his wife Sarah in Mecca in that barren valley, deserted valley, the valley which is empty of any vegetation, no people, etc. She asked him, Allahu amaraka bihada, O Ibrahim, did Allah tell you to leave us here? When he nodded with his head, he said, idhab, go, falan yudayyana, Allah will not desert us, will not be lost, go, leave us, Allah will take care of us, Allah will look after us. This is the tawakkul. You have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a Muslima is having trust, tawakkul, she stands by her husband, and when her husband feels weak, or he starts to compromise, because he is facing a hardship or difficulty, she tells him, fear Allah, and put your trust in Allah. Don't compromise. This is only a test. This is only a trial. We'll pass through this test, inshallah, successfully. Because he has trust in her Lord. So, this is a noble quality that both the husband and wife should have. And a pious husband, he loves that his wife has this noble quality. Tawakkul. Because sometimes the problem with many Muslims is their women, is their wives. They don't stand by them. So they weaken them. Because they have no trust in Allah, no tawakkul. So the tawakkul, all the prophets have it. They had their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Point number 22 and the 22nd quality, a noble quality that a husband loves his wife to have, is to pay attention to her obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A pious husband, when his wife misses her prayers, he gets angry, he goes crazy, he becomes crazy that she misses her salah. So a Muslima, a pious husband, he loves his wife to always pay attention to her obligations towards her Rabb, towards her Lord. Like her salah, she should never delay her salah. A Muslima should always maintain wudu, and she should, the moment she hears the adhan, and she knows now just the time of the salah, she should rush and perform her salah. So she should take care and pay attention to her salah, her fast. Let's say that she had her period in Ramadan, which every woman gets her period in Ramadan, those who are still getting it. Then after Ramadan, a husband loves his wife to clear her debt. And unfortunately, many sisters, they keep procrastinating and delaying making up the qada or the days that they missed in Ramadan. And some of them, they will fast the 6 days of Shawwal but not clearing their debt. And this shows their lack of understanding and lack of fiqh. How you give more priority to the sunnah than to the fard? First of all, clear your debt, make up your days that you missed, then you fast the 6 days of Shawwal within the same month. Because the hadith is very clear, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man sama ramadana وأتبعه ستا من شوال، فكأنما صام الدهر. He who fasts Ramadan then adds 6 days after Ramadan of Shawwal, then that is equivalent to the fast of the whole year. But a woman who didn't fast Ramadan because of her period, and then she started fasting Sha'ban, she's not implementing the hadith because she didn't fast Ramadan. She fasted portion of Ramadan, not all of Ramadan. So first of all, she should fast Ramadan completely, then fast the 6 days of Shawwal. So a woman should always take care about her obligations towards her Creator. And that a pious husband loves his wife to pay attention to her obligations towards her Lord, like the Salah, the fast, etc. Point 23, a husband loves his wife to know that her husband is her hell and heaven. Yes, every husband, he wants his wife to know that. That being and dutiful and rebellious to him, she is actually disobeying her Lord. And the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, a woman came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, "Oh, Prophet of Allah." She came and asked him a few questions, and then when she was leaving, the Prophet ﷺ asked her, "Are you married? Are you married?" She said, "Yes." He said, "How are you to him, to your husband?" She said, "I try my best." He said, "Take care. He is your hell and heaven." Which means if you obey your husband, you'll go to heaven. If you disobey him, you go to hell. So husband, he wants his wife to know this fact, that he is her hell and her heaven. Which means if she obeys him, she'll go to heaven. If she disobeys him, she will go to hell. And point 24, or the 24th quality that a husband loves his wife to have, is to know that his rights upon her are greater than hers upon him. Which is true. The rights of the husband upon you are greater than your rights upon your husband. If a husband is not fulfilling his obligations towards his wife, of course he is sinful and he will be punished for that. But when we make a comparison between the two and what Allah said regarding the husband's rights, that if he is angry with you, Allah is angry with you. Of course, providing that he is a pious husband, not a wicked one or sinful husband, then Allah is angry with you. For instance, when you refuse to sleep with him, the whole night Allah is angry with you, the angels are cursing you. And the hadith will mention that he is your hell and he is your heaven. And another hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ, a woman, a young lady who is not married, came to him and she said, "What are the rights of the husband?" He said, "No woman can fulfill her obligations towards her husband. No one. It's difficult. But they should try their best." And then he gave this example, it's not meant literally, but to give the idea that it is impossible for a woman to fulfill her obligations. He said, if a husband, all his body is full of wounds, from head to toes, full of wounds from head to toes, and she licked all the wounds with her tongue, she would not fulfill her obligations towards her husband. Then this young lady, she said, I cannot afford that. If it is that difficult to fulfill my obligations towards him, then I will not get married. So here, in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is saying that a woman cannot. Of course, it is not allowed to lick the blood and the pus. And that what the Prophet ﷺ didn't mean it, literally. What he meant that you try your best. Because at the end of the day, you cannot say, I fulfilled my obligations towards my husband. But you should try your best. So this is a point that a husband loves his wife to have in mind. Point number 25. Or 25th quality that a husband loves his wife to have, that his wife should not hesitate to apologize to him whenever she wrongs him. Every husband loves that if his wife wrongs him or makes a mistake, he wants her not to hesitate to apologize. And in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, the pious woman the righteous woman, the righteous woman, if she makes something wrong, or if she makes her husband angry, she will not go to sleep before she makes him happy. And she would put his hand in her hand in his hand, and she would tell him, I will not sleep until you forgive me. Are you doing these things, sisters, to your husbands when they are angry? Or you go to sleep while they are angry? The pious Muslima will put her hand in his hand and say, oh, father of so-and-so, I'm sorry, forgive me. And he say, okay, you're forgiven. I have forgiven you. It's all right. Not that you know he's angry and you go to sleep. You don't care. That's not the character of the good Muslima. Point number 26. A husband loves his wife to be engaged, doing good deeds. Any husband, he doesn't like his wife to be engaged in gossiping and vain talk, backbiting, slandering, etc. So a husband, he loves his wife to be engaged in doing good deeds, salah, istighfar, etc., that her tongue is busy in the dhikr. This is what the husband loves his wife to be. I am talking about a Muslim husband, pious, God-fearing husband. Because there are Muslim husbands who like their wives to go to the discotheque. They will like their wives to be dressed almost naked. Oh, we are not talking about this. We are talking here in this session, in this family issues, about the true Muslim. We are not talking about those who are sinful and those who have joined the shaitan and its club and the members of that satanic team. Point number 27. A husband loves his wife not to refuse him from making love to her in any place, any position he likes, except anal sex. He says, I want oral. She should not say no. He wants to put it between the breast, no problem. Anywhere, as long as it's not in the anus. Anal sex is haram. Anything else is halal. So a husband, he loves his wife. For a change. That is there in his mind. He's not doing anything haram. So he wants his wife, whenever he asks her, any position, I want this position. I want to make love in the kitchen. Okay? No problem. Anywhere you want. Apart from the anal sex. Anal sex is haram. So a husband loves his wife, not to refuse him. Don't you know that when Umar ibn Khattab, when he married the woman from the Ansar, because they were in Mecca, and the Sahaba in Mecca, the Arabs in Mecca, they sleep with their women in different positions. All positions they try. So Umar ibn Khattab, he married a woman from the Ansar, and the Ansar living in Medina with the Jews. And it was common practice among the Jews and the Ansar as well. They learned it from the Jews that it is only the normal position. A woman lying on her back and the man on top. That's it. That's the only position they know. So Umar ibn Khattab, he wanted to change the position. His wife said, no, no. The child, if we get a child, he will be cockeyed. Umar, he said, he changed the position. He said, never mind. He changed the position. But then after when he finished, he became afraid that maybe this rumor is true, that it will have a child who is cockeyed. So what he decided, he went to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He went to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said, oh, Rasulullah, oh, Messenger of Allah, لَقَدْ غَيَّرْتُ رَحْلِ الْبَارِحَةِ I changed the position of my saddle, as if he was riding a horse and he changed the saddle. I changed the position of my saddle. I changed the position of my saddle. Of course, it is not true that the child will become cockeyed. That's not true. It was a rumor. So what should I do? The Prophet ﷺ kept quiet. Who answered Umar? Who answered the question of Umar? Allah himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The answer came from Allah. The answer came from Allah. نِسَاءُكُمْ حَرْثٌ لَكُمْ فَأَتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ أَنَّا شِئْتُمْ Your women are your tillage. So approach your tillage the way you like. In any way you like. As long as it is in the right position, in the private part, not in the anus. As long as it is in the right position, then in any position, from the back, from the side, from any position. It is halal. That's what Allah said. So this is point number 27. A husband loves his wife, not to refuse him, to make love to her in any position he likes or in any place, as long as it is not haram, as it's not anal. And point 28, a husband loves his wife, that her demands should be reasonable. When she asks or demands something, her demands should be reasonable and should be affordable, that he can afford.